Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score.
Golly, Martha, it's the Media Project. Back again this week and making news with the sound of my voice, which is not Rex Smith or Alan Shartalks or any other regulars, but a regular nonetheless. I'm David Giustina, producer of the program, filling in for a last-minute absence from our fabulous host Rex Smith, joined by the man with many hats who keeps the projectors honest each week, or so he says, and signs my paycheck, WAMC CEO Alan Shartalk.
Hello, David.
Hello, Alan. Next up... investigative journalist, former editor, professor at UAlbany, Rosemary Armeo.
Hi, David.
Well, hello, Rosemary. That was very polite.
I'll be nice to you.
That's something I can look forward
meaning
to.
Meaning she's not going to be nice to me. And Judy isn't going to
be... It's got to go someplace.
And Judy isn't going to be true. Nice to me either.
Speaking of Judy Patrick, Vice President for Editorial Development for the New York Press Association, longtime editor of the Daily Gazette. You'll stir it up, won't you, Judy?
You know, this is going to be quite wonderful with you here. Thanks for being here.
Wow. I don't know what that's
enjoy
all about.
Never, that nice, never that nice to me.
Well, you know, Rex talks about insight. I don't know if we're going to get to that today. But let's start with the idea that the news media, and we talk about this a lot, is in trouble. But I want to refer you to a story that I read on the Connecticut Wire this week. It's about the court system there. They're going to usher in the new year by moving required public notices to their website and out of newspapers. The state judicial branch will begin publishing the notices online January 2nd. Officials cite lower costs and the potential to reach more people. However, media representatives say moving the notes online will result in fewer residents being informed. It will be another huge blow to news companies already dealing with huge declines in revenues. Another revenue source, gone.
So could you guys explain to me, Judy, as an editor, longtime editor of a newspaper, what the legals mean? Legals are when compulsory, you have to advertise certain things are happening, right?
Right. It's required by law, often state law. These are the small print articles or little tiny, almost like classified ads, typically in the back of the newspapers. Often they indicate that something has been established as an LLC or they're searching for someone or they... oftentimes people are asking for bids for contracts. I tell you, this story for out of Connecticut will strike fear in the hearts of every publisher in the country because legal notices are such an important source of revenue for newspapers. And it truly has become, over time, especially with the demise of other types of classified advertising, a reliable, steady source of revenue, especially for the small local newspapers. The argument is that people aren't reading newspapers anymore and that there are more
interesting,
better ways to reach the audience that they're trying to reach. In Connecticut, they're proposing to post these on the Connecticut website. Well, I don't think that's going to work. I think that there is still an audience for legal notices. I can tell you that newspapers are publishing them online as well as in print. And I hate this, and I certainly hope it's not the start of a trend.
So it's really just one more dagger in the heart of print media, right?
Yeah, and sometimes you only need one dagger to the heart to kill you.
Yeah. Well, we do know that. As a matter of fact, it's kind of interesting. I was talking to my friend, producer Giustina here, and there was an article in the paper about many newspapers closing up. It's just become an avalanche.
Including the Newseum in Washington, which is now closing because they charged an admissions fee. They're going to, I guess.
It wasn't just an admission fee. It was $25.
Yeah.
A city filled with Smithsonian institutions that cost zero. So I don't know. I fault the Newseum's business model for that. No one thought of that ahead of time. And it's the same with the newspapers and the legals. For a newspaper to depend on the legals as a source of income on which their survival depends is extremely short-sighted. You could have seen decades ago that this was going to move on online. And it's also a dangerous connection between government and newspapers.
You're right.
In countries where I've worked, the legal ads were used routinely as, oh, I don't like that story you do, so we're not going to put the legals in your newspaper anymore. So it's something that should have been seen the same way that everything from classified ads to news have moved online. Is it really such a surprise that the legals have gone? And I do think that Connecticut will be the start of a trend. And I do think that newspapers, at least on paper, are dying. And the Newseum, when it first began, what, 25 years ago, I thought, how ridiculous. us to spend millions of dollars that could go into a newsroom, that could go into a reporter's salary and actually do living news. But it was an amazing institution, and it was, I've spent days there. I would go and just spend an entire day in Washington. It was filled with artifacts like the car that investigative reporter Don Bowles was blown up in 1975 while working on a story on organized crime. And it was filled with the hut that the Unabomber was found in. Fascinating stuff. But again, it was in a giant building on a major thoroughfare. The rent alone must have been stupendous. And it just was built on a business model that required a huge amount of money from people coming in. And you're not going to collect that.
You know, it was fascinating. We have a story here in the city of Albany, which I'm sure you're both aware of, in which the mayor of Albany got mad at the Times Union newspaper and said they were going to take the legals away from them and put them in two other outstanding publications, the Catholic Tablet, which was the newspaper of the church serving the Catholic community, and the Jewish World, and so which, of course, had very small readerships compared to the Times Union. But this is, once again...
Okay, so the legals, do we know what those are? Those are notices of foreclosures and legal actions, and it's very arcane stuff. So who's reading them? Well, investigative reporters read it because you can always find stories, and lawyers read them, title agents read it, and they're going to find it wherever it is. It's just like when all the angst about moving stock tables out of the newspaper. The people who want to see that information will find it wherever it is. You do not need print newspapers anymore. And it breaks my hard to say it. That's my life.
But sometimes some of these legal notices are people searching for a long lost relative or a notice from surrogate's court of a will being filed, and they're trying to track someone down, and they can do that. They have been successful. I think what would be good if we could do a study about whether or not they're really effective in doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Well, I mean, I think in those cases, you just take out an ad in the paper or you get someone to write a story. And if you want to talk about news value items being removed from papers, years ago, newspapers stopped doing obituaries, which truly are history and community news. And now we let people write up their own obituaries and then we charge them by the word. So that is, to me, a true loss. If you could give up as a newspaper your obits, the legals are nothing.
But can't advertisers just as much say they'll pull their ads and threaten the paper?
They do all the time.
You know, I was a local reporter for many years. I always remember on New Year's Day covering those organizational meetings at a town board, and the supervisor or whoever's in charge would come over to me and say, you know, we made your paper the official newspaper. And I kept on thinking to myself, well, I don't really care if I'm your official newspaper.
But they thought you did.
They thought I did, but it took me several years to realize that that meant that they would put their legal notices in my newspaper. At the time, I'm the reporter covering it. It makes no sense, no difference to me.
So what about your article that you sent from the Post on ghost papers and news deserts? Now, we've talked about news deserts on this program, but all of you have, where you end up in a place in a community where there's nobody covering the events of that community. What about ghost papers?
What I found so fascinating about this Washington Post article was the fact that the writer, to find out what the potential solutions for local news, he turned to three of the biggest newspaper chains, and I'm not really sure those guys have the solutions. He talked to Gannett, he talked to McClatchy, and I think he talked to Tribune. And some people would argue that those are the organizations that don't hold the key to the future success of newspapers, that those are the chains that are decimating newsrooms and are trying to cut costs and return value to their shareholders.
Judy, I'm so sorry. I wonder if you would explain it to us. What exactly are these ghost references to?
Oh, yeah, ghost newspapers, that's the hot phrase of the year, is a newspaper that essentially has no news in it. There are no real reporters covering real news, and it's a shell of its former self. It might have a couple of spaghetti dinner references, or it might have some rewritten press, or not even rewritten press releases, just simple press releases. And there are more and more of those that are just containers for whatever advertising people can pick up. And the subscribers are getting these ghost newspapers and seeing no value. And no wonder they're turning away from their product.
Don't we also seek publications like the Times Union and others creating their own sort of magazines and other publications that they send out?
Alternative revenue streams, you mean? Yeah, the shoppers that you see when you go into libraries and supermarkets.
We seem to be throwing anything against the wall to see what will stick. And, you know, that's, and some people call it experimentation. Some people call it just a waste of our time, that we should really just be investing in doing great journalism and displaying it in new and innovative ways.
This goes back to actually throughout the 90s. 1970s, I can remember I was still in newspapers, and there would be the starts of the cuts began then, and papers would downsize, and news executives would, there's no other word for it, lie to the public and say, we're going to become more efficient, and this won't change news at all. And it was a lie then, and you can see it now. We have steadily seen the product coming out of the newspapers, like the obits that I mentioned, like in-depth news, like features, like locally produced content, and it's all gone, and we expect people to pay more for it. I wouldn't buy it. It's like Sears right now is selling off Die Hard batteries and its Craftsman tools and still expecting to bring people in. It does not work that way.
No, because the next thing
it's
you see
is... It's in a downward spiral.
Yes, the next thing you see is they close. But it, of course, gets right to the question, which I'm fascinated with you two newspaper mavens, and that is it all over? We discuss this week after week, but is it all over? We see newspapers closing down. We see some opportunities. In Great Barrington, Massachusetts, I've mentioned it to the point where you folks are going to puke. There is
the gadfly woman.
Yeah, there's a woman who goes in and she takes down every word that happens at every one of the meetings. And people are buying it.
I don't see the replacement yet. It's not in books. It's not in citizen journalism. It's not in civic journalism. It's not in any of the isms.
What about public radio?
Public radio helps, but Alan, how many reporters do you have to cover an area? How vast? You can't do it.
About a third of the United States.
Yeah, it looks like that. And you have, what, five people, you know? And that's the way it is with newspapers.
No, it's not five people.
I exaggerate.
Well, don't exaggerate it. You're at our expense, please.
Okay. You can do your commercial, and it's deserved for NPR. But the truth is half of the reporters in the United States have lost their jobs over the past 10 years. And that means there are fewer people to cover government that is as large, sprawling, and complex as ever. That means less news.
Okay, we know that.
But we need it. And studies have shown that when you lose your local news, taxes go up, corruption increases. So there's a need for this. I don't see the replacement yet, but I'm still hopeful that one will arise.
But you have no idea what that might be?
No, I think it's going to be some combination of the Facebook Googles of the world hiring real reporters, real content makers, not just content aggregators.
And why should they?
And I think radio could be part of it, local television. But no, I don't know what it is. Do you?
I hate the idea of Facebook actually being in charge of local news or any kind of news. They haven't proven themselves to be good at it. And I still believe that you need local news. You need people who live in the local community to know what's important and to connect with their audience and to produce news of value to that community. And there are thousands and thousands of communities in the country. I believe that everybody wants to know what happened. If there was a big car crash down in the center of town, they want to know about it. And if the government is going to build a new park that most people in town don't think is needed, they want to weigh in on it. They want to know how the school system's spending their money. So I think there's always going to be the need for it. Our job here is to figure out how to provide it and how to make at least a little bit of money. I think we've got to stop thinking about journalism as a massive profit-making enterprise and more as a community service.
Okay, so is there a possibility where we have to just understand that paper, as in newspapers, is gone?
Dead.
Done. It costs a great deal of money. It's what breaks a lot of these newspapers. And you say we have to figure it out. But you're the experts. And so I'm somewhat disappointed in both of you in that you really haven't. Well, why are you scowling at me?
You know, I'm disappointed.
I'm
he can't come
saying.
Up with a different attack.
I know.
It just
keeps
week.
You know, it might be that newspapers railroads are outdated, that it is time. And while it breaks my heart, and I don't want to be like one of those railroad guys who keep saying, oh, bring back the locomotives. It isn't going to happen. And news is going to take some different form. You haven't figured it out either, or you'd have the market on it.
No, we have, because that's the thing about running a great public radio station. You spend the money that you have and you spend it on reporters and you ask them to pick up the pieces. And as a matter of fact, there are many people who will say we are picking up the pieces. We're not picking them up the way that Judy might have said, which is, you know, covering the local Board of Education meeting to see where the money's going into the...
Okay, here comes my criticism. I'm sorry, brace for this. You are not picking up the pieces of a great metropolitan or regional newspaper. WAMC cannot do the sort of in-depth, investigative and entrepreneurial pieces, and you do not cover local news at the micro level. You cover the easy middle ground, and you don't have reporters. You can't pay them enough for the experience to do either of those things.
Oh, no, as a matter of fact.
It does not work by itself. Is it a piece of what may be the answer? Yes, but it is not. Books may be part of the answer. People still read books.
Yeah, but you and
Judy,
can
do in depth.
I'm sorry for interrupting, but you and Judy just keep on telling us the state of affairs. But now, as Judy just said before, we have to be working on the substitutes. And I don't hear any very good ideas coming from either of you, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, I think there's plenty of good substitutes. And I also think, are you reading obituaries every day? No. Doing any kind of legal notices?
No. Oh, you mean on the radio?
On the radio. If my Aunt May dies in Richmondville, Schoharie County, are you going to put it on the air? No. If I want to find out about that, I got to go to a local newspaper.
But if there is no local newspaper?
I'm not going to get it from you.
What you're looking for is something that, okay, we used to have newspapers and now we have
there's
this.
No
and I don't think we're going to ever have that. We're going to have little small bits and pieces so that we'll have Twitter, for example. If you want to hear about the car accident down the street, you're going to go to Twitter. If you want to hear a big investigative piece, you're going to read books. If you want to hear about what happened at a big public meeting, then you might listen to NPR or commentary NPR. And there's nonprofits that are filling in. It's all going to be, I don't think journalism will be a career like I had that I could raise a family on. I think it's going to be part-time or a hobby, something you do for a short time, maybe early in your career when you don't need a lot of money. And these are all solutions. They're not what you want, which is what is the replacement for newspapers. I don't think there will be one.
In all honesty, Rosemary, you don't know what I want. All I can say is that we have a dearth, we have a real problem here, and we have to be able to figure it out. As you've just indicated, there are lots of potentials here. But nature abhors a vacuum. Something's going to come along.
Well, the problem is that it isn't a vacuum. It's overloaded with news and information, and people don't know what to trust and what not to trust. I think Facebook is going to jump the shark, as they say. It's not going to be relevant in a few years. And people are going to try to find a new place to get the information they want in a way that they can trust. And I'm hoping that newspapers or the next version of newspapers are there to answer that need, that they maybe there'll be a homepage, even though people don't like to go to homepages. But maybe newspapers will develop an easy way to connect with the local audience, and that can be the channel by which people get the information that they want, or at least be a starting point, and that may be a salvation, at least at the local level.
But isn't it beyond newspapers and media? I mean, aren't we talking about the fact that people have lost faith in the institutions of our society, whether it's criminal justice, health care, the environment,
religion,
you name it, people are
military.
Cynical. You even see cynical nature among students in the professorate when we come in there with experience and they doubt our efficacy or they doubt that we're telling the truth for how
it
works.
They're not interested in us. They don't read news. I mean, we've kind of lost that as something that we grew up watching our parents open the newspaper after dinner every night. That doesn't happen anymore.
And you knew the names of the people you were reading and you thought of people like Walter Cronkite that you could trust and other
on the TV,
those people that were the fourth estate. Now it just seems like it's muddled amongst every other message that's out there.
But part of it is that we are blinded because we're of the generation that remembers what it used to be like. And we are not going to be part of the new thing, that we're caught in the middle. It will not be right in my lifetime. I'm done. And I think that's true to extent of all of us here. And it'll be our students, maybe, or our children who are going to figure out, wait, we need news. Here's how we're going to get it.
Well, write to us and let us know what you think. It's media at WAMC.org. You know, let us have it if you want to, or say something nice. It's all possible. We're here with Alan Shartok and Rosemary Armeo and Judy Patrick and me, David Gustina, the producer of the program.
You know, David and Hoop, there is a concept called convergence, and that is that right now we see newspapers trying to get in on the radio business and podcasts and things of that kind. We see places like WAMC extending its reach on its own homepages and the rest. So it may well be that we see what used to be newspapers take over in broadcasting, for example.
Or maybe they offer their investigative units in some sort of cooperative where you think of something like a Times Union or another paper that has a really strong investigative arm combining with a local station or doing something in radio or other media to get that information out.
Well, you know, it's very interesting to me. In the old days, as the head of this radio station, it was tough to get somebody from the New York Times on one of these other newspapers. Now, there has been a rethinking of all of that, and The Times is putting its people out all over the place. We're very lucky on this radio station to have a constant guest in Jesse McKinley, who is the New York Times Capital Region reporter. And CNN will play cuts from Fox News. Who would have thought that possible 10
years ago? We do talk about convergence. We started to talk about convergence maybe 10 years ago when video became available on websites. But then we realized in the newspaper business that we're not very good at video, and it's very expensive, and it was kind of a waste of our time. Sometimes you come back to it because they get really high viewer engagement, but it's difficult to produce. Now newspapers are trying their hand at podcasts, which is essentially radio, and it's difficult, and it's not as easy as it may sound. And again, we're finding that we're spending a lot of time and money and energy trying to do podcasts, some of them successful. Like New York Times can do a really successful podcast, but they have a huge team that does it. So is that the solution for the regional newspapers or the local newspapers or not? I'm not seeing that at this point.
Well, but how about the local newspaper, you know a great deal about this, Judy, going online and saying, we're not going to publish in a paper anymore, but we'll go right to your computer. We'll go right to your handheld device.
If they can make it work financially. But one of my beefs with that approach is, does it reach all the people? Because I believe that newspapers are supposed to reach everybody in a community. It's one of the reasons why we were always priced so low, that we thought it was a public service to be able to buy a newspaper for 50 cents or back in the day, 2 or 3 cents. Now we're up to about $1. It's still a great bargain, but I want to make sure whatever delivery method we choose going forward, and that's really the issue here, is something that's accessible to everybody in the community.
But you may not have a choice. In other words, the choice may not be that the person who has been buying newsprint, the paper, can continue to do that. They can't. So the one place that they can go is the Legislative Gazette newspaper, which I have run for all these years. The Legislative Gazette is now only online.
There's two problems with convergence of online and news. One is that you have to draw people to those sites. And as Judy mentioned earlier, there's so much competition that's increasingly difficult to do. And so what are you going to do? Go and watch the listen to the Legislative Gazette or the Times Union online? Or are you going to go and listen to, Spotify or music or celebrity news? And increasingly we're finding that's what happens. And the second thing is that the content for that media is really specialized. The podcast and NPR National does wonderful investigative stuff, takes a very talented team, not very many topics fit that format. And the kind of local in-depth news that used to be in newspapers does not go into podcasts. It does not go into serials. We have not done a good job. It's crime news.
I would point out to you that almost everybody you see on the street has a handheld device.
Yeah, but they're not using it for news, Al.
No, but they can. But they can. I tell you, I wake up in the middle of the night and I read the New York Times and I read...
We are not typical,
New York Post. No, we're not.
We are not typical.
We're not.
But with those younger people, Alan always talks about this, with those younger people,
you,
as they get older, they get married, have a house, they pay taxes, does news become more important?
We used to say that about newspapers. Oh, kids don't read newspapers in college, but wow, wait till they get out and they have to deal with jobs and community, and it stopped happening. And now it isn't just newspapers we're finding, it's news in general.
I'm saying having David here is like having two Alans here. I think we're ganged up again.
I know.
It's
a good thing we're smarter.
Watch it.
But while you may go outside the door here in the city of Albany and see a lot of people with handheld devices, I am telling you that not everyone in America is connected to the internet. There is a woeful disconnect, especially among poor people. I don't think we should overlook it. I think it is easy to think that when you go out and about, you see a lot of people with phones, but they're expensive. And connection is expensive. Not everybody has a good...
There is a pretty big penetration, however, in the U.S., and we are moving towards cheaper and easier connections.
Thank you, Rosemary.
So, I mean, I think that's a vain hope, too, that we have to just aim for newspapers for people who can't get it otherwise. It's going to be like TV. Virtually everyone in the U.S. has or can get it.
So the genie's not going back in the bottle?
I don't think so.
And by the way, this is not going to be our choice. This is going to be something that happens just because it happens, because nature abhors a vacuum, because people will find another way of doing it. Some people will talk to others about, hey, I read the New York Times every day online. It's possible.
I don't think we should just throw our hands up and say, oh, there's nothing we can do. We'll see where the boat takes us. One of the things the media people are doing nowadays is trying to reestablish trust with their audiences and be more forthright about what they do and how they do it. And I think that's a good, at least a first baby step towards righting the ship. Even though the current's fast and things are moving very quickly and who knows where it will take us, but I think we need to do something. We can't just say, we don't have any control because we do have some control.
There is something interesting that has occurred in the comedy vein. You know, when you had the leadership of Jon Stewart in The Daily Show, you've seen a number of these spin-offs, and I realize that they present them within this sort of comic framework. But if you watch a guy like Hasan Minhaj, who takes a serious issue, one serious issue after another, wraps it in comedy, but truthful comedy, commenting on the issue, and makes you realize things like the Asian population is not being approached by politicians and being recognized as a legitimate voting bloc in the United States of America. And you realize that Orange County, California turned Democratic virtually on the voting from that population. So there are places that young people will go.
That's true.
And Alan has always talked about making things interesting.
Okay, there's two things for that, David. Yeah. One is this overwhelmingly liberal, not conservative, who goes there to, to the comedy sites. And the second is, again, it's a matter of the material they can use. The kind of issues that we're talking about in local news, like the municipal government that's taking too much tax money or paying officials for
the water
travel.
Main break. They did,
that you're not going to hear that on Colbert.
Right, and we should recognize the fact that Colbert and Jon Stewart and all of the comedy sites, they're building on stories they've read in newspapers.
Correct. A big point, as does Facebook and Google and Yahoo. They are all aggregators. They steal from newspapers. They're not paying the expensive salaries of people who get that news.
You poor people, you're always fighting this rearguard action, and it doesn't really work.
Only on this show, where you just keep harping on this.
All right, now, that's it. You
that's
have to
show?
Say something positive. We're going to go around the room now. As we end the show, we're going to end up in a new year next year, and I want to hear something positive looking ahead in journalism.
Well, it's great to see you here, David, stepping in this way and doing a wonderful job, and it's also wonderful to see the two apologists for the newspapers here.
Okay, something positive. I'm not good at this, but I would say that some of the most amazing investigative reporting is done right now when the media is most under the gun in the United States. It's being done at only the largest outlets, but it is earth-shaking journalism by the New York Times and the Washington Post on Trump corruption and on gender politics.
I second Rosemary, but I also want the positive thing that I see when I look out at any news conference, at any press briefing, are the scores of journalists who are committed to the profession, many of them who are working for very low wages, for not great benefits, but who are so committed to the public's right to know that they're out there working long hours and doing the best they can,
in college.
A lot of journalism majors in school. So I think from that perspective, that's a good thing.
Wow. Much nicer to end that way. Did we really get on their nerves, Alan? Or
yeah.
Yes.
It's the Media Project with Alan Shartok, Rosemary Armeo, Judy Patrick, and for one shining moment, me, David Gustina, the producer of the program. Tune in any way you can online at WAMC.org. We'll see you next week.
What a headache, what a mess. Oh, publishers are such interesting people. Let's give free cheers for freedom of the press.